And this is what Kim always calls the bittersweet moment of the evening when we bring up our last storyteller of the night. Todd Michael Keach is an actor and performer in Chicago. He co-produced Chicago Takes Off for Test Positive Award Network and The Tease for Chicago House. He's currently working on an all-male gay-themed performance piece called The Permission Project. He also tends bar at this very establishment. Please welcome to our stage, Todd Michael Keach.
Hi, I thought I'd wear my super subtle storytelling jacket for you tonight. So before I tell my story, I know it's Joseph's birthday, but do we have any other Pisces friends in the house tonight? Hey, happy birthday, Pisces. Okay. So I know it may seem hard to believe from a guy in a really sparkly jacket on a stage in front of a large group of people, but I don't really like attention. Or I should say I have a complicated relationship with attention. I do a lot of things that could be considered attention getting. I work here at one of the most popular gay bars in the world. I used to be a professional dancer, and I still perform and act, although most days, actually, I would prefer to hide under a rock. And I always thought this hiding under a rock, introverted part of myself was just part of my nature, part of the Pisces duality, extrovert, introvert. But lately I've been wondering if it isn't learned behavior and practice. When I was a kid, I loved attention and I was always, you know, doing skits and magic shows, and I would organize all the kids in the neighborhood to do a carnival or a haunted house or make a movie. So I was like the youngest gay events planner in Barrington. But that all came to a screeching halt when I hit my adolescence and started to get picked on. And I know we've all had various degrees of being picked on. For me, it was pretty relentless. And I went to a very small private Catholic grade school. So there was nowhere to hide. And I quickly learned that if I attracted any attention at all, it was going to be followed by ridicule. So I learned to avoid it at all costs. I made myself as small as possible. I tried to slip through the cracks or travel in stealth mode so people wouldn't see me. I developed voices that could assess threat levels if I approached a group of people to keep me safe. I practiced all of this really, really hard for a really long time, and I got really good at it. And if I've learned anything from obsessively watching Jane Fonda interviews on YouTube, it's that the repetition of these things creates a neural pathway in your brain. It hardwires your brain. So you can negotiate with these voices, you can calm them down, but they never really go away. Mine at least started calming down a little bit when I got into high school, until finally by my senior year, I got talked into doing the musical Oklahoma. I got to be a singing, dancing cowboy, and I loved it, and I could handle that kind of attention because it was diffused attention. It wasn't about me. I was just in the chorus. I was just a cog in the machine. And I loved it so much that I actually went off to school and studied dance and became a dancer and a choreographer. Fast forward to the late 90s, early 2000s, and I was choreographing for a bunch of gay-centric events here in Chicago. And I started to be fascinated by incorporating the idea of male striptease into these events. And the only striptease, male striptease I'd really seen was Chippendales, which I always thought was super cheesy. But I started doing research into female burlesque, classic American burlesque from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. It's like the classic art of striptease. And I loved the style and the elegance and the humor of it. And I was like, okay, how can we do that in a male context? And so I tried to incorporate it into any of these events any chance I could. My friend Keith Elliott knew that I was doing this. And in 2007, he invited me to help him with a new benefit he was creating for Test Positive Aura Network. And we created Chicago Takes Off. And we had 80 to 100 concert dancers, and we choreographed all these fun production striptease numbers. And we also had one legit burlesque performer that first year, Michelle L'Amour. And she is just one of the best in the world, I think. So after that first year's performance, we had a meeting with her to get advice on how we could grow the event for the next year. And she suggested I come to the Burlesque Hall of Fame weekend in Las Vegas. That's a four-day event where burlesque performers from all over the world come in and perform and compete for titles in the Burlesque Hall of Fame. And I said, yep, I'll be there. And then she said, and you know, they just started having a men's category in the competition. Bling, light bulb went off. Now, I had no desire to go compete myself, but I wanted to see how my choreography would stand up in a legit burlesque crowd. I thought maybe I can send somebody else to do it. The problem was the deadline to apply was a week and a half away from that moment. So in a week and a half, I'd have to choreograph, costume, videotape, and photograph a number. I thought there's no way I'll be able to do that with somebody else. So I just bit the bullet and did it. I applied. I got accepted. Michelle said, great, you got a couple months before Vegas. You have to perform it a few times to get it under your belt. Her company, the Lavender Cabaret, was going to have a performance that next month at the Broadway Theater, which is now a comedy club. And she invited me to debut my piece there. This was going to really be the first time I'd ever have a spotlight just on me. Gulp. I worked my butt off that whole month. I rehearsed. I gave up carbs and sugar, which is inhumane. I refined my costume, which was a very subtle, understated black Rat Pack tux with a fedora. And I had little subtle accents of sparkle in homage to female burlesque, but I didn't want it to be over the top. So I like hand glued Swarovski crystals to my boxers while I watched Brad Pitt in the Fight Club. The closer we got to the event, the more nervous I became. It didn't help that Michelle was hyping up that she was going to have her first ever male burlesque performer at her show. Also, knowing that I had a large group of friends coming made me nervous as well. The night of the show comes. I'm standing backstage in my full costume at intermission, terrified. I'm first up after intermission. Michelle says, okay, I'm going to go out in the house and watch. Have fun. That's when the voices start kicking in full blast. Why are you doing this again? This is a terrible idea. You're way too old to do this. Nobody wants to see a 40-something-year-old guy dance around and take his clothes off. You know your friends are just here to watch your social undoing, right? And then Piper Laurie from the movie Carrie starts screaming in my ear, they're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. And I just decided, I'm not going to do it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to walk on stage. I can just walk out the back door. That's when the MC steps up to the mic and said, well, it's a historic night here at the Lavender Cabaret. Before he even gets halfway through that phrase, the audience starts screaming and cheering. I can't even hear the rest of his introduction because of the screaming. My music starts. Fuck. I walk into the spotlight and feel the attention. There is no moisture in my mouth whatsoever. My face is locked in the same expression. Fortunately, my body remembers the choreography and starts to move. Slowly but surely, I start to relax into the piece. The first article of clothing comes off. I get cheers and giggles. It all feels like it's going really well, and I can actually feel that the audience is with me, and that's a really new feeling. I'm down to my boxer shorts. Time for the punchline. I turn away from the audience and pull the shorts down a little bit to show the top of my butt, and then I pull them back up. Good tease. Then I pull them all the way down to expose two huge pasties with tassels hanging off of them as if it was a set of boobs. I give the tassels a flick and a shimmy and they spin in opposite directions. I hit my final pose and I get a cheering standing ovation, which I never would have expected. I go to Las Vegas, I compete. I do not win. But I meet so many amazing performers who are so huge on stage and in life. They're not going to make themselves small for anybody. And my favorite part was Legends Night, when women who performed back in the day, some of them now in their 70s and 80s, get on stage and perform. And they live for the spotlight. I mean, they soak up and savor every second up there. They are elegant and charming and sexy and raunchy, and they embrace all of the jiggle their body has to offer. Before I leave Las Vegas, I have a very clear, specific vision of what I will be doing and wearing the next year. The next year I go back to Vegas, I have a ridiculously sparkly red devil costume. I've got red prismatic sequins, Swarovski crystals, glitter, mirrors. It's a far cry from subtle and understated. And I look at it and I think, is this over the top? Fortunately, for perspective's sake, the day before the competition, I got to go to the Liberace Museum. One of his costumes, one, cost $750,000 in 1978. It had this massive cape that was covered in chinchilla fur. The inside was crusted with these enormous Swarovski crystals. The cape was so heavy, he had to have lead-weighted boots to not fall over. I saw this costume, and I immediately ran back to my hotel room and glued more Swarovski crystals on my costume. The following night, I stepped into a spotlight on a stage in Las Vegas and won the men's title and a spot in the Burlesque Hall of Fame. Thank you. Burlesque changed my life. It opened doors I never could have expected. And no matter what I do, there will always be a little bit of burlesque in it. Burlesque taught me to step into a spotlight confidently and to hold that spotlight and to enjoy it. That attention can actually be fun. It taught me to trust my instincts, my timing, my sense of humor. The legends taught me never to apologize for my age, my body, my sexuality, or how much I jiggle. And Liberace taught me there is no such thing as over the top. Thank you.
Nice job. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Though often wearing slightly less sparkly attire, you can find Todd here at Sidetrack many nights of the week. I want you to take home something important that we all learned from Todd. Todd, don't go away. Which is, embrace all the jiggle that your body has to offer. Thank you, Todd. So, thank you all for coming. We want to again say thank you to our storytellers, Angelica D'Souza, Kim Su-Ha, Nathan Novaria, Stephanie Clark, Armin Serbone, and Mr. Jiggly, Todd Keach. Thank you all for coming tonight. Storytellers, please come on up for a picture.
And feel free to go through this door, which will be open, go to the other room, talk to each other, share stories. We're all here together. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.